I believe that this is the greatest season for the church to be blessed. I don't believe that there's ever a season greater as now for the body of Christ to prosper. Can I just get somebody's attention? That the Lord gets absolutely no glory when you are sick. He gets no glory that when you are down and out financially, you've got nothing. Do you think that our Heavenly Father, we sang that song, that you're a good father. Do you think that He loves it sitting in heaven on a throne seeing His children suffer? Who believes that God loves to see His people suffer? Well, if you believe that, I want to introduce you to a loving Father this morning. Amen? He gets no glory when you're sick. He gets no glory when there's no finances to do whatever you need to do. And the kingdom of God, now more than ever before, needs finances to win souls and cross planet Earth. I was preaching, people from Fiji messaged me, said, we see you in Fiji. People from Hong Kong, Saudi Arabia, all over the world, a harvest is ready. Come on, I want you to shout with me, a harvest is ready. Come on, say this one more time, a harvest is ready. I want to get your attention to one scripture quickly. I want to get your attention to 2 Kings chapter 4. And verse 58, if you have your Bibles, please open with me. Let's read from the Word of God this morning. And we're going to read until verse 41. It's on the screen for those who do not have a Bible. It says, and Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat it. So he said, bring some flour, and he put it into the pot, and he said, serve it to the people that they may eat, and there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now I want to quickly ask you to lift one hand to heaven, put the other hand on your heart, and I want you to say this with me, it's a heart condition. Come on, say this out loud, it's a heart condition. It's a heart condition. This is what most people face in their lives, and I want to direct you to some scriptures. The Bible says, here's the men of God, they're about to eat something, and scripture says they went into the field and they gathered some herbs. What they didn't know is there were some harmful herbs, some poisonous herbs, and they ate it, and the Bible says there was death in the pot. And they ran to the man of God, and they said, man of God, there's death in the pot. And he said, listen, get me some flour. If you study that flour, it was fine flour that also made bread. I want to introduce you this morning to the bread of life. Amen. Come on, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, I'm not talking about a dead idol. Who's with me this morning? I'm not talking about a dead statue. I'm talking about the King of Glory, the bread of life. He says, whoever eats from this bread will never hunger again. Come on, where's the real people who loves Jesus? Come on, just the mention of that name makes hell to shake. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. Just the mention of the name of Christ shakes hell. Get some flour into the pot, and they threw flour into this pot, and he said, all right, now it's good to eat. You see, I want to tell you this morning, it's not about how you are dressed, how you look, what car you're driving, which house you're staying. Our problem is our heart. Jesus says, I'm not looking at your outward. I don't care if you wear shoes, socks, or if you're here barefoot. I'm looking at your heart, and I'm here to prophesy to some people, there's death in the pot. Come on, this is your pot. There's some death in the pot that the Lord needs to get out, because He's going to kill you if you don't get rid of offense, of hurt, of what people said, of what people did. Come on, if you believe it, I want you to give Jesus the greatest praise in this place. You can decide this morning whether you're going to be blessed or either you're going to be tremendously stressed. You can make a decision to say, well, I'm hurt. I've heard a guy say to me that I'm not going back to church because the church has hurt me. I said, let me tell you something. It's not the church that hurt you. Man has hurt you. And if you don't go back to church because you was offended because of man, your faith was in man, not in Christ. It's time that we sift the spots of ours and say, Lord, there's death in the pot. I'm speaking to some real people who sits with bitterness, anger. Come on, you've been rejected your whole life. And it has made a bit of, the Bible says, guard your heart above all things. The Bible never says guard your car. Come on, the Bible never says guard your money. People guard their money more than they guard their hearts. Who am I speaking to, the right person in this place? And especially in the days that we are living in now, there's such attack. I spoke to a man of God the other day, and we were in discussion. He said, have you noticed? If you walk in power, people will attack you. But the only reason why people attack power is because people are demonized. Any person that speaks against the anointing of God, against the power, is demonized. Come on, let's say it as it is. Can we be blunt this morning? It's time that we check our hearts. Come on. I want to ask you, lift your hands and say, Lord, check my heart. Lord, check my heart. Here's the men, they said, listen, here's some deaf in the pot. There's some deaf in the pot. I'm speaking to people who has missed the blessings of God. For the simple fact, you know, so many people miss being blessed because they're offended. Come on, let's quickly read what the Bible says in the book of Matthew. Matthew 11 verse 6, this is Jesus saying, he says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, I want to help you understand this. If you play keyboard and you get offended, you're not getting offended because of you, you're getting offended because of him. When you receive it, the blessing comes. Many people fight it because they're offended. What the Bible says, you miss out on your blessing. Offense is never given. Offense is always taken. But people don't understand it's time to deal with offense. It's time to deal with heartache. Because otherwise it becomes deaf in the pot. If you don't guard your heart above all things, from the life, from the heart flows the issues of life. If you think what I'm telling you now, and I'm going to get to this, this is not my main message, this is just the intro, all right? If you think what I'm saying to you today, that many people miss out on being blessed because they don't know how to handle offense. And what they do is they take offense to the heart, and then suddenly, who is next? It's the Lord. Well, the church has hurt me. No. You have hurt yourself. Our faith should not be in man. Our faith should be in Jesus Christ. Come on, it doesn't matter what I do. If I clean the toilets, I say this multiple times. If I clean the toilets, I do it for him. I don't do it for him. I do it for? No, let me try this side. If I park the cars, I do it for who? If Jesus Christ, and this is, think about what I'm saying. 5 days before Christ was crucified, what did they do? They broke down palm trees, laid it on the ground, and they cried out, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Come on, this is what they did today. 5 days from today, they will start to scream out, crucify him, crucify him. Come on, 5 days previously, Hosanna in the highest. 5 days after that, crucify him, crucify him. But he still did it. Listen, the people that cried out, Hosanna in the highest, some of them were in the crowds that cried out, crucify him. But he still went to the cross. Come on, he still paid the price victoriously. No offense in the world could get him off the cross. Am I speaking to someone in this place? And if you take offense to the heart, what you do is you bring a blockage to your spirit, and there's absolutely no blessing. Amen. You postpone the blessings of God. Jesus says, blessed is he who is offended because of me. Now, listen to me. Now, there's a translation. It says so powerfully. John came and he sent his disciples. He said, go tell him or ask him, are you the one or should we wait for somebody else? Jesus responded. He says, the blind see. You go tell John, the blind see. The deaf, they can hear now. The dead is being raised. I'm the one. And blessed is he who's not easily offended because of me. Now this is what happened. When the supernatural starts to flow, people get offended. Oh, this is not God. But Jesus said, if you're looking for somebody else, you're going to miss it. I am the one. I am he. Come on, I am he. The blind see, the deaf hear. So what do we need to do? We need to add some flour in the pot. We need some Holy Spirit revelation about who this Christ is. If I'm offended, I'll be offended because of him. If I'm hated, I don't worry. The world hated him first. Come on, blessed is he who is hated because of him. We need to understand that everything that you do is not because of you, it's because of him. We live and we move and we breathe because of him. Come on, I want you to give some, come on, lift it up in this place. Somebody needs to hear me. I want you to shout like you believe it. It's all about Jesus. Jesus. It's not because of us. It's not because of you. Do you know, I want to in actual fact tell you this. Before God created you, He already knew your plan and your purpose. I always refer back to Elijah. Why do I refer back to Elijah? Because Elijah was a man of power. I say this with all the love in my heart. I don't want to sit with people that speaks about God is good and God is a miracle worker, but don't see it, don't manifest it. Elijah was a man with power, no negotiations. So I want to tell you, before Elijah was created, God knew in his mind, there's a reason I'm creating him. Not for him, but for the kingdom. When God created the widow, God created the widow for a reason. For the kingdom. If you are blessed financially, I don't care if you're a businessman, working for somebody, just hear me. You are blessed for a reason. It's not for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things shall be added unto you. Come on, people ask me, I want to see the blessings of God. Can I give you some blessings of God? Can I give you some kingdom order in this place? Come on, who's ready to receive this? I said, who's ready to receive this? Well, first of all, blessed is he who's not easily offended because of me. Whatever people say against you, plot against you, I don't care. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Come on, I said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. In the 21st century, we're living with people that wants to be pleased. But you know what the Lord said to me last night? It's time that these people grow up. It's time that we enter into, a woman said yesterday, there's no such thing as a perfect church. I said, wake up. Absolutely, we must be perfect. We must leave behind the old man and step into the perfect Christ. Come on. The only reason why people don't believe there's a perfect church is because people don't want to mature. Come on, people don't want to grow up. It's time to grow up. Come on, I want you to shout to somebody, it's time to grow up. Come on, it's time to grow up. Because Jesus Christ is not coming back for the lame and the lazy church. He's coming back for the victorious church. For a church who has not just sit back and relaxed, but a church who has occupied. Come on, a church who was busy. A church who's shaking the nations of the world. Come on, I speak to you. I want you to shout, hallelujah. A guy said the other day, he said, yeah, these guys are happy chappies. I'm rather happy chappy than a dead buried guy sitting in my pew, thinking that I know God, but denying the power of God. Come on, come on, you better high five somebody. You better high five somebody and say, my God is alive, a God of power. Let them call you happy chappies or the happy clappies. I'd rather be happy. My God is alive. Do you hear what I'm telling you? My God is alive. My God is alive. My God is alive. The tomb is empty. Come on, the tomb is empty. He's alive. He's alive. But the issue is not the man preaching to you. The issue is that people don't want to take responsibility. So what they do is they put it on somebody else. It's his fault. It's her fault. No, the issue is in the heart. There's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. Somehow you've opened up for the herbs to come in and sneak into your soul, into your spirit. And before you even say amen, no longer do you go to church. You see, people's got this mentality that we don't have to go to church. We are the church. You can't be the church without being in the church.
Amen.
I love what my wife said the other day on Facebook. She said that people don't want to go to God's house. Think about this. They don't want to go to church, but they expect to go to his house one day. If this is too difficult for you, don't think heaven is for you. And I was stepping on those people say, I'm religious. That's fine, call me religious. But one day soon, we're going to have to stand before God. Come on, we're going to have to stand before him. And that day, your opinion is not going to matter. He says, I'm not looking at your abilities. I'm looking at your heart. Think about what comes out of people's mouths. It's something that was already birthed in their hearts. Let them open their mouths and you know exactly what's in their heart. Come on. I'm talking to you about the death in the pot. There's death in the pot. We need to get rid of this because it will kill you. Come on. Say with me. It will kill me. I have to get rid of offense. I have to get rid of bitterness and hatred. And do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I want you, when you pray, I want you to pray for your enemies. That's the most difficult thing to do. Lord, bless my enemies. Lord, that one that comes against me, I want you to bless him. Bless him so that he does not have room enough. Now you can all say, hallelujah, yes, we do that. That's a tough thing to do. But have you noticed that when you pray, Lord, bless my enemies, they're not winning, you are winning.
Amen.
Right, let's try this side. They are not winning, you are winning. Because what you do is you sit in a prison while they enjoy their lives. But the minute you can come to that place and say, Lord, get rid of the hatred, the bitterness, the anger. Come on, get rid of the offense. People get offended because they are still alive. People need to die to self. Jesus says, you want to follow me? Come on, you want to follow me? You have to crucify yourself. In actual fact, I can tell you anything here. It should not be, yeah, I'm not coming back. Did you hear what he say? Yes, did he just say that? No, you have to say, thank you, Jesus. We've got men of God that's still preaching the truth. We don't have soothsayers here. Come on, we've got men of God that gives us truth because we will know the truth and the what? The truth will set us free. I'm here to tell you that it's time that your debt situation, it's time that it's over. It's time that you put down your burial clothes and walk into the destiny, into the fullness, what God has called you to do. But it's time to say, Lord, there's death in the pot. Come on, where's the honest people in this place? There's death in the pot, but I'm getting rid of the dead. Come on, I'm adding some flour. If God called me to walk in power, I'm going to be the one walking power. If they attack me, let them attack me. When you walk in power and people attack you, it must just be a sign that you're doing something right. Do you know what the devil hates? Let me tell you what the devil hates. The devil hates people to prosper, number one. The devil hates people that walks in God's power. Why? Because the devil doesn't like people be free. He wants you to be sick. Come on, help me out in this place. He wants you to be broke. He wants you to lay on your deathbed. But let me tell you, not on my watch. I said, not on my watch. Not on my watch. The anointing is not given here for me, for myself, it's for you. Come on, it's for you. Death is coming out of that pot in the name of Jesus. These people who walked into this place, you felt like a heavy cloud covering your life. Well, I want to tell you, death is coming out. Who hears me in this place? Death is coming out. We're living in a society that people don't want to be teachable. People are not teachable anymore. If you're not teachable anymore, don't teach. I was sitting in a service Friday evening. I was preaching, God off the stage, and a man messaged me from America. You'll know if I mention his name, Rodney Howard Brown. He messaged me, he said, I've watched you. I was hard on myself. He said, out of all of them, I see you are with Jesus. He says, I want to tell you, well done, young man. You shook the nations of the world. And you know what?
Amen.
I thought I was hard on myself. I was so hard. But I can know when people can say, well done, but I can also take if people say, don't do that. You're on the wrong. Don't do that. Don't say that. Amen? People are not teachable. I don't care how big you think your anointing are. If you can't sit under the teachings, under the power of God, come on. You've missed it. And it's for one reason. It's because there's death in the pot. Come on. There's death in the pot. People don't want to be teachable. People don't want to submit. People don't want to commit. If you want to be great, serve. Amen. Show me how you pack the chairs and how you wash dishes like we've got great people do. Come on, scrubbing toilets. That's a filthy job. But we've got people that love the Lord more than they love themselves. Come on. You want to be great? Come on, who wants to be great one day? You learn how to serve. Learn how to serve. Doesn't matter what. I can tell you some things that happens in the toilets that you don't want to see. But we've got men that says, I don't care. Let's scrub the walls. You want to be great? Learn how to serve. You want to be blessed? Get rid of offense. Say with me, I have to get rid of offense. Secondly, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I want to tell you that if you make it your business to establish his kingdom first, you will be blessed. Have you noticed if you get money, if you get a blessing, all right, you get a blessing. First thing that you do is, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to do this. Oh, thank God I can pay this. But most people don't say, yeah, here's my opportunity to expand the kingdom of God. Amen. I was in a challenge. I was in East London. I don't want to mention what I did, but I was standing there and the Lord spoke to me. I said, no, Lord, please not, Lord, you know. Oh, Lord, you know. Try to negotiate with him. And I thought maybe it's just myself. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I heard the Lord say, this is what I want you to do. I was thinking, no, I can't be the Lord. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. And I heard Him say, vessel. Yes, Lord, here I am. I want you to say, oh, my soul. I worship You. The Lord said to me, do you believe in this man's vision? I said, absolutely. Do you know what the Lord asked me? Do you want people to believe in yours? I said, yes, Lord. He said, then put your money where your mouth is. What you sow, you reap. I want to tell people here tonight that you don't sow to get something back. You sow because you love. You love Jesus. Come on, you want to see His kingdom grow. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's about Him. It's seeing His kingdom being established. When the kingdom of God does good, you do good. Do you know that? And hear me what I'm telling you. The better the kingdom of God is doing, the quicker Jesus returns. Because the gospel needs to be spread. Come on, souls needs to come. This is the only reason, and you can quote me on this. You can go on Facebook and say, Vessel said it. I put a stamp of approval on this. This is why Jesus has not yet come. Because people need to be reached. But when they are reached, He's coming back. I said, He's coming back. You don't want to hear it, you better close your ears. He's coming back. Our generation will see the King of Glory. Come on, our generation will see the King of Glory coming back in power. And I know this is, you shouldn't tell these people these things. You should tell them how great they are, how wonderful they are. I want to tell you, if your heart is not right, you're going to miss heaven. This is what I'm telling you. If you allow death in your part, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill your destiny. It's going to take away God's plan for your life. Those people that has bound you, they're not worth it. They're not worth your salvation. Come on, they're not worth your love that you have for God. It's time to add some flour. Come on, cry out to the Son of God, to the bread of life. I say, Lord, I'm forgiving. I'm letting them go. Come on, stir the spot. Yes. If I'm in the right crowd this morning, I want you to jump to your feet quickly and give Jesus some praise. Come on, let's see if you're awake. Hallelujah! Okay, now, let's get the next one. You can take your seats just quickly. I'm just going to have to go through another one. Hallelujah! Come, let's quickly tell you the person next to you, my circumstances. Doesn't scare Jesus off. Doesn't matter what you go through, doesn't scare Jesus off. Nothing catches Him by surprise. I want to read you another one in the book of Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Just pause. Have you ever noticed in Acts, do you know what the Lord said to me when we started this church? We are here now for 3 months. And the Lord said to me, I want you to call the church the upper room. And I thought, why the upper room? Everybody else has got a church name. Well, you're the upper room. And the Lord gave me specifics. And the Lord said, in the upper room, that's where the church started. That's where the Holy Spirit was poured out. But go back to the upper room. What did they do? They baptized people daily. People were saved. Miracles happened everywhere. Last night I read something and it shook me again. The Bible says, everybody who had possessions, they sold it off. They brought all the offerings to the apostles' feet. And what did they do? They distributed among each one as they needed. If I stand here before you today in the 21st century, I'm telling you, sell your house, bring your money. What will you say on Facebook? First thing, false prophet. All right, maybe you on this side understand what I'm saying. Oh, this is a false prophet. Did you hear what he said? But back then, somebody had to say, let's see, put your money where your mouth is. All right? And something, this is not what I'm saying. All right? What moved me was nobody lacked among them. Yeah. Nobody lacked among them. Why do I say this? Because if the presence of the Lord is in the place, lack should move. Lack should move. Many people have lack because there's no presence of the Lord. You can speak about, you can quote scriptures until you're blue in the face. Unless you know the shepherd, means nothing. You can put statuses on Facebook about how much you love the Lord. If your heart's not pure before Him, you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. Come on, am I speaking to someone? God loves you. Our Father loves you. Our Father loves you. But if you can't handle what you have now, He will not give you more. For your own protection. For your own good. The Lord will only use you up to the level of persecution you can handle. Wow. Because the greater the level of the anointing, the greater the persecution. But for your own good, God stops and says, okay, until you learn that your heart must be pure, I'm going to shift you to the next dimension. So many people say, well, Lord, give me $1 million. God can't even trust you with $1,000 you've got in your pocket. The million will not come for your own good. Come on, for your own good. While I was standing in East London, the Lord said, well, I've sowed a seed that was crazy. Trust me, it was crazy. I went back to my seat. I said, Vessel, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? Vessel, what did you do? And then my spirit rebuked me. I said, shut up. She said, Vessel, what did you do? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's a heart condition. But if you love Him more than you love money, if you love Him more than you love money, amen. Jesus doesn't mind you having money. Jesus minds money having you. Am I speaking to somebody? The Lord doesn't bless His church to sit on it, to brag on it. Come on, the Lord blesses His church to be the blessing to the world, to see the kingdom of God be established in the name of Jesus. Now, let's get that scripture back on the board, Galatians. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. This is just something free of charge. People say, well, church shouldn't pick up money. Well, Michael Jackson shouldn't have driven a Rolls Royce. Michael Jackson shouldn't have his own private jet. Have you ever noticed, we had this discussion, have you ever noticed when the world does good, when the sinners of the world who promote hatred, sex and violence, drugs, when they drive and fly around the world, they're not false. They serve a dead God. They serve the God of this world, the father of all lies. And nobody says they are false. But the minute God blesses His children, people say, oh, this is a false prophet. I want to tell you, wake up! Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. This is what the Bible says. If you receive teachings, you have to share in all good things with the one who teaches you. And if people just understand this, there will not be a lack in churches. I don't say this because I'm a preacher. Listen, you're not my provider. I don't earn a salary from our church. God's my provider. I say this free of charge. If you have a pastor that you don't take care of, shame on you. 1,500 preachers quit the ministry in America alone on a monthly basis. Because the only thing that people can do is speak against them. If the music is too loud, they complain. If it's too soft, they complain. If it's too hard, they complain. Come on, if it's too cold, they complain. They complain about everything. Instead of picking up those man's hands, I said, this is a teacher. Come on, this is a father that the Lord brought into my life. Instead of complaining, start praising. If you're in spirit filled, you don't worry if there's lights, if there's no lights. Come on. If there's music, if there's no music. We are not here for the things. We are here for God Almighty. If you believe it, come on. Lift a shout for victory in this place. I want to tell you, it's a hard condition. Most people sit in a place where they don't grow. You don't reach your next dimension because it's a hard condition. God knows your heart. I want to be on stage. God knows why you should not be on stage. It's for your own good. It's for your own good. If the Lord knows that you're doing that just for yourself, it's for your own good. We've got preachers preaching a gospel that they don't know about. People preaching in these last days, preaching a bunch of nonsense. And people pay to listen to that every single week. People are bound in bondage. Why? Because it's a hard condition. And I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. I'm speaking to every single one on the stage. Come on, I'm speaking to people that people need to hear. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. There is death in the pot. And we need to clear it out. We need to say, Lord, fill me. If it's not about Jesus, what is it about? If you know it's about Jesus, come on, He's the flower. Woo, he's the one who makes it beautiful. He's the one who brings healing. That person that hurts you, come on, bless them and let them go. Come on, the person that stabs you in the back, love them and let them go. Come on, am I speaking to somebody in this place? I know after this message, people are still going to be offended. Say, yes, did you hear what they say? I'm not going back there. Well, you have to listen to what I'm telling you. Offense is never given, it's taken. But you need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. If our heart is right, blessings will follow us all the days of our lives. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. I want to just read this and then we're going to go to where I want to go. Proverbs 3, not 5. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now, what do you say with me? Honor.
Honor.
Come on, one more time. Honor.
Honor.
And with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, I know that many people quote it from the front. It's Old Testament, so don't. So rip it out of your Bible. Throw it away. And don't quote Old Testament blessings then. If it's Old Testament, it's in your Bible for a reason. I just want to stir something up. Man didn't write this. This is the Holy Spirit. Come on, this is Jesus compacted in a Bible, in a book. Am I speaking to you right now? If it's Old Testament and it's there, it's for a reason. Alright? Bless the Lord or honor the Lord with your substance. You want to be blessed? You better get ready to honor the Lord with your substance. I've seen now this week, I've seen it previously Sunday, yeah? How many people really give? Not for how much money goes into this. How many people really get out of their seats to sow? You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked if you see the stats around the world, how many people still tithe. Because if I tithe today, there's no money for my motorboat and my third house in Margate. I had a guy, he said the Lord gave him an amount to sow. He sowed the money. Preacher, alright? He was a friend of mine. Was. He sowed money into a church. And he said when the money left his hand, they went along the offering basket and then he realized what he did. He said he jumped up and he ran after. He says, hang on. And he got some change. Put in his, true story. Put it back in his pocket. He says, am I crazy? I still have bread to buy and I have to do this. You know what the Bible says? God gives seed to the sower. Many people don't have seed because they're not sowers. Hallelujah. I want to say this and then I'm going to get to the message. Okay. Is that all right? The Bible says, Bring the tithe to the storehouse. This is why I tell people, come, let's go to the front. You bring it. I'm not receiving it. Come on, you bring it. Who's listening to me? Remember the Bible says, shall a man rob God? Malachi 3, verse 10. Shall a man rob God? And Lord, how do we rob you? Well, in tithes and offerings. Can I help you understand this scripture? God does not need your money. Maybe you on this side will get this revelation. The Lord does not need your money. Shall a man rob God? When I don't tithe, the Lord doesn't have in heaven, there's no problem paying lights. Jesus doesn't say, well, the tithes has been bad this month, so I don't know what we're going to do. Shall a man rob God? Robbing in what? Because to him belongs all the silver and all the gold, all the cattle on a thousand hills, the whole world and the fullness belongs to God. They are fighting about land, whose land it is and whose not. It's Jesus' land. It's His world. Come on, it's His country. Shall a man rob God? How do we rob Him? You rob Him by blessing you. You keep away the blessings of God if you don't tithe and give. People say it's Old Testament. Well, go and check. Abraham gave his tithe to Melchizedek right before the laws. Even before the laws. Even before the laws. Come on, stay with me. Before the laws. Have you ever noticed this? When the shoe fits. If the shoe fits, you better get another shoe. Change your legs. Change your feet. People will speak against something that they don't do. Just because you don't do it doesn't mean it's not biblical, it's not scriptural. Oh, hallelujah. You want to be blessed? Lift your hands. You want to see the blessings of God upon your life? Don't get easily offended. Don't let offense rock your boat. Doesn't matter what they say about you, it's their opinion, not yours. What people think about you is their problem, not your problem. Say, it's not my problem. Come on, say it again, it's not my problem. You are not here to be impressed. You're not here to be liked. Come on, you are here to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And if you're going to make a difference, you're going to shake the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness won't like what you're doing. But who cares what the devil likes? Come on, who cares what people like? We are here to please not man, but we are here to please God Almighty. I will not be offended. Come on, say with me. I will not be offended. In actual fact, if people speak against you, it should not be offense. You should be glad The disciples were dancing and praising God because they were attacked because of the name of Jesus. If people don't speak against you, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Don't get offended. Come on, lift your hands. Don't get offended in this place. I'm not here to get offended. I'm here to be set free. I'm here to hear from heaven. An offended heart can never receive from the Lord because your heart is blocked completely from receiving. I'm so offended. I'm never stepping back to that church. The church has hurt me. Now you sit at home. Did the church cave in on you? How many people do you know said the church has hurt me? Come on. I wonder, did the roof fall in on them? Their faith was in man, not in God. This is why I hate when people put man on a pedestal and not Christ. It's time to put Jesus back on the pedestal and say, this is why I'm doing it. This is why I go to church, because I love him. And if you go to church where there's no truth, run for the hills. A nice story is not going to get you free. It's a condition of the heart. Am I speaking to you? It's time to get rid of bitterness, hatred, and anger. Get rid of offense. There's death in the pot. Who wants to live long? Who wants to live long? Just a few of you? If you want to live long, you better show the devil I'm living long. Lift your hands. Get rid of offense. Get rid of offense. If your heart is offended, and please, don't judge people because you don't understand.
Yes.
Most people judge because they've received something that they don't understand. Just because you haven't been brought up in that way, or you've been in another denomination for your whole life, doesn't mean they're wrong. Maybe the problem is in your heart. Come on, maybe the problem. Have you ever noticed when you speak about money, what happens? Everybody's faces change. Oh. It's a condition of the heart. You will see people that love the Lord, they can't wait to give. What is it giving? What? Did you just say I can give? For God so loved the world, he gave. Come on, he gave. He gave. I say this again. Let the devil hear me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Alright? I don't get a salary here. I just preach here. People ask me, where's the key for this? I said, I don't know. I'm just preaching. But you know what I've seen? In actual fact, when I just said that, it's just a joke. Because I'm also on the roof, fixing what I need to fix, painting what I need to paint. If I want something done like that, miracle wall, we get it done. Trust me. But if you ever notice, if your heart is right, how easy you can make it for the man of God that needs to preach. Don't you worry about it, I'll fix it up. Lord, we have to trust our money. What money? It's already done. We've prayed up a storm, the Lord provided. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. Yes, we need to get this grass. No, don't worry about the grass, it's done. Have you been smoking grass? It's done. It's done. Because you understand my purpose. Come on, widow, you understand your purpose. I'm not here to complain. I'm here to serve. If I don't like his face, I'm not here for him. I'm here for Jesus. Come on, if you feel the presence of the Lord in this place, lift your hand. If you've been here previously, you know that the Lord is in this place. Lift those hands. Come on, lift both of those hands. It's not the preacher. It's not this preacher. It is not you. This is the problem. There's a condition of the heart. And if you've hurt somebody, if you've spoken against somebody, you go and repent. You say, Lord, forgive me, there's death in my pot. You are the unhappy one. Notice, and I'm going to get to the last part of this meeting, and this is going to bless you. But notice, people that speak against other people are always bound. It's always a difficult issue. I heard a guy the other day, I just laughed about this. He's driving a Ford, and he's speaking about a preacher that drove a BMW. He said, Jesus didn't drive a BMW. Did you know that Jesus also didn't drive a Ford? You drive a Ford, that's all right. Come on. I think if Jesus was alive today, we would have driven a BMW. I know. Do you know what now? The religious spirit is getting stirred up. But people are going free. You're going to walk out of this place. This heaviness is going to be gone. You're not here to impress. I said, you're not here to impress. You are not here to impress. I want to tell this to you in the name of Jesus. I feel stirred. Come on. I want you to live that. I feel stirred. That the Jezebel spirit is about to die. That controlling spirit, that manipulative spirit is about, come on, to die in Jesus' name. Jezebel, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, shout hallelujah. There's no room for Jezebel in this place. Come on, Jezebel will leave your life. You will not be controlled by people's feelings. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, one more time, hallelujah. Hear me quickly. If you are moved by people's opinions, it's Jezebel that controls your life. The Bible says, he says, the one you listen to is the one you serve. It's time to say, Jezebel, it's time to pack your bags and go. I'm not here to impress. Come on, I'm here to change the kingdom of God. Come on, I'm here to do what God has called me to do. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift those hands. In the name of Jesus, we cast out Jezebel. In Jesus' name, loose the God's people. Come on, I need somebody just to shout one more time in this place. Come on, shout. You can take your seat for 1 minute. You can take your seat for 1 minute. I prophesy this to somebody. You know, the Bible talks about Bethany, a place called Bethany. Say with me, Bethany. Bethany. I've studied this. Bethany means depression, anxiety, loneliness. It's a place of in actual fact, that was the very place that people said, if Jesus comes back, we kill him. We're going to kill him. Now, you have to know that the enemy is afraid of you when you get death threats. I see the other night, I said, yes, people are giving us death threats. Trust me, I've been in certain countries receiving evil. Well, if you don't leave our country, we're going to come to your meetings and kill you. I said, wow. In order for me to see what Jesus did, I have to go through the persecution he went through. So I wanted to kill him. Bethany, the place of depression and anxiety, loneliness. Right now, Jesus says, I'm going back there because Lazarus is dead. And in actual fact, Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus is asleep. And you know what his disciples said? Your Lord, if he's asleep, leave him. He'll get better. You know, I hope people get better when they're asleep. Because some people in this place this morning, you're going to be... But think about what I'm saying. Jesus said, I have to go back there. And then when Jesus heard there's a issue in Bethany, he waited another 2 days. Is he dead? Jesus knew he was dead. All right, let's try this side. Jesus knew he was dead. But Jesus loves a challenge. Jesus absolutely loves a challenge. First of all, they're going to kill him. He knew no man's going to kill him. He knew he came to earth not to be stoned to death, not to be thrown off a cliff, but to die on a cross. And no devil in hell will stop his purpose. Do you hear me? Is there somebody that understands this? He knew that he's not called to back out from depression and anxiety and loneliness. Come on, he's here to take that curse upon him. Amen. And when he heard that Lazarus is dead, he thought to himself, nice. The drier the bones, the greater the miracles. Amen. Sometimes your attitude must stink, your situation must stink, and then the Lord says, okay, now I'm ready. For a simple fact, if it happens before that time, Jesus will not get glory. You'll get the glory. And the Bible says, now Jesus is on his way to Bethany. This is the place that they wanted to kill him. And Mary, one of them heard, the disciples heard, they're going to go there. And Mary Martha eventually shows up and said, Lord, my brother, I think he's stinking already. You can't roll about away the stone. He was in a cave. There was a stone that closed the cave. But my brother is stinking. Who knows what I'm talking about? He's 4 days dead already. His body's deteriorating, Lord. There's a stench. But that doesn't move Jesus. Your stench doesn't move the Lord. Come on, your problems, your situation, your depression doesn't move the Lord away. He's not moved and say, 4 days, all right, he's dead, leave him. Sorry, just send flowers to the family. No ways. He says, do you know who you're talking to?
Amen.
Do you know to who you're talking to? You are talking to the resurrection and thy life. Listen, I'm not speaking about me, I'm speaking about that name. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the resurrection and the life. Don't tell me he's 4 days dead.
Amen.
Thank you, devil. You get it, devil. You get it. And suddenly the Bible says, when Jesus told his disciples, you'll read it in the passage, when the disciples said, oh Lord, he'll sleep, he'll get better, Jesus eventually says, listen boys, he's dead. Right? Do you get it now? He's dead. I don't want to say this to you. I wanted to keep you and protect you from that, but now that you don't understand, he's dead. And the Bible says now eventually when they got there, everybody was crying, and then Jesus cried. Jesus didn't cry because Lazarus was dead. Jesus cried because of people's unbelief. Like he's still crying today. People say there's no such thing as healing. You know, you break the heart of Christ. You are the one who breaks that heart of Christ. If you don't believe that it's possible for him. I don't know what God you serve. If you serve my God, nothing is impossible for him. He is the resurrection and he's the life. Come on, he's the way maker, the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. That's who my God is. I want you to tell your neighbor, my God is not dead. Come on, one more time. Do you know why I walk up and down? Here's my answer to you. Do you know why I jump if I preach? Why I shout? Because I read a scripture. Revelation 1 verse 18. Behold, I was dead. That moved me. But I live forevermore. I know when I speak to you about Buddha and Muhammad, I understand if there's no move. I understand 100% if there's no shout of hallelujah. I understand that a dead God can do nothing. There's many Christians that go, listen, have you ever noticed the Buddhist going to his Buddhist monk and telling his friends, today I'm going to receive a miracle? Have you ever heard a Muslim going to mosque and say, wow, I'm expecting something's going to happen? Absolutely not! Because their God is dead. A dead God. In actual fact, people say that it's the devil. The devil cannot heal. I said the devil cannot create. He's no creator. Come on. He says, fell under our feet. Cast it out of heaven. No power under our feet. But here's the key. Christ Jesus is alive. I'm not serving a dead God. I'm not serving an idol. You don't hear me. I'm not going into a Buddhist monk and bowing my knees before a dead God and meditating on trees and birds. Come on, I'm singing hymns. I'm praising a God who's alive. Come on, a God who took everything on his shoulders. Come on, the Lord who gave his back for them to struck. If you say Jesus didn't heal, you're spitting in his face. You are one of them lashing him. My God is a healer. Come on, shout it from your mouth. My God is a healer. Come on, my God is a healer. I can just see it. I can just see it. Everybody's mourning, crying, and suddenly there's a voice. Not just any voice. A voice that sounds like a rushing of a wind, like many waters. A pure, holy voice crying out, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine what happens? There's an earthquake. There's a shaking. Maybe people fell on their knees and said, who's this man? Who's this man? And suddenly, there's a dead man. Four days. Listen, not 10 seconds, 4 days. He's reeking. Come on, there's a stench. But suddenly he's walking out of that tomb. And Jesus says, it's time to get awake. Get rid of the funeral robe. Come on, take off the garments of death. Let him go in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, you are coming out. You are moving forward. Your funeral clothing is coming off in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, I want you to say this. I'm coming out. Come on, I want you to shout, I'm coming out. Come on, one more time. I'm coming out. I don't like the shouting in church. Well, listen, you can shout before a television station. You can shout for Jesus. Your life is depressing enough. Don't make church depressed. Come on. Do you hear what I'm telling you in this place? If we can scream for the Springboks that can't even play rugby, how much more can we scream for a winning team? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. I don't like the screaming. I love it. I love it. I love it. In actual fact, I think we need more shoutings. I think we need more drums, more guitars. If you know what Christ did for you on the cross, you will not just sit there in silence and say, you'll be so excited. The victory has been won. Let's make the devil real angry this morning. Come on, let's make him real angry this morning. You just shout out Jesus. I casted out a demon spirit. People say that guy's demon possessed. Yeah, I'm demon possessed. I cast out demons by the help of demons. Come on, just wake up. I casted out a demon just the other day. The first thing the demon said, you know what he said? Please don't use that name. Don't use the name of Jesus. Any other name, not that name. Promise you. Not Jesus. Please, not Jesus. Well, Jesus! 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 Now the religious spirit is stirred up. I prophesy over you in the name of Jesus that that bitter heart, that broken heart, that offended heart shall be touched by that man Jesus. Come on. Flour will be added, the bread of life. Just start to grab on the bread of life and say, Lord, I'm eating from you. I am eating from you. I want to ask you, I want to ask Samantha again with the violin in the back. Come on, just as we're gonna pray over people. I prophesy this in the name of Jesus that there will not be death in a pot no longer. The Lord will set you free. Am I speaking to the right crowd in this place? For so long have you been happy with where you are at, but God is about to shift some things in your life. Come on, all for His glory. Am I speaking to the real crowd in this place? It's time that you understand, if I want to be blessed, if I want to see the blessings on my household, I need to get rid of offense. It's not what people think about me. Listen, as long as Jesus adores you. Most people that hate the move of God, they will not go where you're going. So don't worry if they like you or not. It's not your problem. Get rid of offense. Step into that place where God has called you. If listen, and I'm saying this now, no jokes, genuine out of my heart. If I had to be moved by criticism, I would have done nothing for the Lord. Do you know how many times people said I'm false? Do you know how many times people say, oh, this guy, I don't like his face. Who cares? The last time I've checked, I wasn't called by a man. The last time I've checked, the anointing didn't come from a man. The last time I've checked, he called me. Come on, he called me. I said, one night I cried before the Lord. Everybody was sleeping in my house. I went on my knees, I cried. I said, Lord, it breaks my heart if people say I'm false, and if people say I'm a false prophet and this and that. And I heard God say to me, are you? Are you a false prophet? I said, absolutely not, Lord, you know. He says, why are you worried? Amen. They're not going to judge you one day. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to judge them. And that shifted me. Sometimes it still breaks my heart. But it's not because of me. It's because of the people's blindness. How can they think that the devil can do stuff? But my God who created him, pure as an angel. The last time I checked, Lucifer didn't make God. God made Lucifer. If somebody makes you, it means he's more powerful than you. Stop giving the enemy, the devil, so much glory and start to give Christ glory. We're going to honor the Lord from our substance. That attracts the blessings. Amen. Don't be a Jimmy. Be a gimme. All right. Jimmy, my name is Jimmy, gimme. Have you ever noticed this? It's what I can get. No, it's what I can give. Yes. Come on, say this, it's what I can give. That's my point. Point proven. I just said, Lord, I'm not going to be a gimme. I'm not going to be a give me, I'm going to give. Everybody was so silent. In that moment of time, you had to jump to your feet and say, yes, Lord, he's speaking to me. I've robbed you for blessing me for a whole while. If it's financially bad, you don't give. Pastor Andre Rapert said something to me that shook me. He said to the Lord, he made a vow. He said, Lord, I would rather not eat but rob you. He said, you know what happened that month? There was no food. He had money to either buy food or to sow it. He said he had to make a decision. Am I going to go against God's word or am I doing what I promised him? He said he didn't eat. He sowed everything. He said that brought his breakthrough. Because God honored him. God honored him. I'm not going to speak against people. listen, you are sitting here. I love you. Let the people speak against you. You don't want to be that person. You pray for them. Go at night and speak about them before your Heavenly Father. Amen. Am I speaking to the right crowd? But don't get this spot bitter. If you are the widow, you better listen. You better get into that widow's position. If you're Elijah, do what Elijah did. But no longer put it aside because of offense, because you felt you're not good enough. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. Just because people hurt you doesn't mean God hurt you. People don't want to hear the truth. In the 21st century, people don't want to hear the truth. Well, in actual fact, with Jesus, they don't want to hear the truth. He had a church, about 5,000 people, everybody left. What an offending message. Amen? How he must have offended people. 12 remained, he said, do you want to go? Go with them. Peter said, Lord, where will we go from? Use the words of life, not the words of a soothsayer. He says, we are receiving life from you. Where will we go? Amen. I'm not offended. I'm offended if I'm not offended. Right. But I'm going to clean my heart before the Lord. Come on, lift those hands. No longer will I be bound with my funeral clothes. My attitude is stinking. I'm getting out of this cave in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm about to leave this cave. I'm not born, created for this cave. I'm created to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Come on, I prophesy in the name of Jesus. As Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. I prophesy, come forth. Come forth. Come forth in Jesus' name. Come, I prophesy that you'll come out, that you'll move forward. Come, I prophesy in the name of Jesus that every tongue, I prophesy, every tongue that speaks against you, we condemn it in the name of Jesus. Tongues will fall out of people's mouths. You hear me? Don't you leave them for God, but let them go. Come, I'm speaking to somebody. Those people who has hurt you, don't worry about them. Let them go. Say, Lord, I'm forgiving them. Come on, don't tell your neighbor he's speaking to you. I'm speaking to you right now. Let them go. Say, Lord, I'm getting rid of offenses. My heart will not be broken about what people said, about what people think. I'm not missing my blessing. I'm not missing my blessing, Lord. I'm not missing my blessing. I'm coming out. Come, it's time. I prophesy. Get rid of that funeral clothes. Loosen him and let him go. Loosen him and let him go. I want to ask every single person on their feet right now, lift those hands. Lift those hands. You see, if there's death in the pot, and I know that I know there's people that sat here that was offended. You didn't listen to my preaching. Get rid of offense. It's not about us. There's a bigger picture. It's not about your kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. It's all about Jesus. If your life is not making an impact for the kingdom of God, don't blame others. Blame yourself. Take responsibility and say, Lord, there's death in my pot. Come on, as they ran to the man of God and said, they said, man of God, there's death in the pot. Somebody just needs to be honest and cry out, man of God, there's death in the pot. It's about Jesus this morning. It's not about what Jesus can give us. Everything that he can give us, the blessings and the giftings, the power, that's just a byproduct. But it's about Jesus Christ. It's about his kingdom. It's about seeking him first. I can't seek him if I'm offended. I can't seek him if I'm still bound by what people think. Come on, I prophesy, come forth. Come forth. Come forth. You might think that you're just sleeping. I'm here. I'm telling you, your situation is killing you. Jesus said he's asleep and suddenly changed his opinion. He said that guy's dead. He's dead. To yourself, you might seem that you're just asleep. But if you don't stop that poison in your spirit, that death in a pot is poison. It's bitterness. It's hatred. If you're standing here and your husband maybe or a man has hurt you, get rid of the poison. Ask the bread of life. Come and change me. Come and deal with my broken heart. Come and lift those hands across this place. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Come and just lift those hands. every eye to be closed. Lord, it's different apart. Remove it in the name of Jesus. Remove the death. We want to make an impact for the kingdom of God. These people here you hate. It's time to get rid of hate. People with bitterness, it's time to let go of bitterness. These people with unbelief, it's time to get rid of that poison in your soul. You don't like people. It's not up to you. Who made you God? Who made you judge? Don't judge people because of what you see. Maybe spend some time with them. See their hearts and know who they are. But get rid of the poison. Get rid of the poison. Say, Lord, nothing is going to separate me from you. I want to ask you again, please close your eyes.